As we all recall that the conflict has affected the oil operations in Unity State, that led to the shutdown totally the oil operation in Unity States. We remain only with Upper Nile oil fields that are being operated since the crisis erupted in 2013. From the eruption of the crisis in December 2013, the total productions, daily production was 245,000 barrel a day. 200,000 was the production daily from Upper Nile Estates for Lojo oil field, and 45 was from Unity oil fields, that northern oil field that is Farriang and Tarjas. That 45 was erupted and was shut down. We remain with 200. But because of the crisis, the 200 of Upper Nile also has been affected, and we reduced from, we came down from 200,000 barrel a day to average of 165,000 barrel a day since the crisis erupted, and that is the production that we have up to this moment. As today, we are producing the production of yesterday, and that is in the last 20 months. It was almost in between 165 to 169,000 barrel a day. Today is 165,000 barrel a day in Upper Nile, where we have the total of the wells 619. Today we are producing 497 wells. That is the production.
Yes, and all this is in Upper Nile State alone. There's nothing completely in Unity State has been disrupted by the fighting that has been taking place for the last 20 months.
Yes, we thank God, and also we thank our forces, SPLA, the gallant forces, and the old security forces that is managed to protect the Upper Nile oil field during this crisis. Mm-hmm. That is allow the ministry to keep the oil production in Upper Nile flowing. That is an average of 165,000 barrel a day. That is without increase and without the drop.
All right.
So it was a shipment, and that is, I think, with the challenges of supplies and that was being also imposed on the operators, but we were able to operate in that range.
Right. Honorable Minister, we'll be finding out later on the impact of this agreement now to the operation of the oil production. But let's find out about these oil fields, particularly that are in Unity State, with the fighting that has been taking place, and of course oil production has stopped there. But how safe are the facilities? The oil field generally in Unity State, have they not been destroyed? What is their state like right now as we talk?
As we speak, the oil field in Unity States in Tarjas and in northern oil field in Farriang and Rapkona are fully under the control of the government. And we have issued a ministerial order to the operators to the joint operating companies in the two oil fields in the north and the south of the United States, GPOC and ASPOC. And in July and August, initial assessment is being conducted to see the conditions of the facilities, and the technical teams are still working. We, for us to be able to bring back the oil production and also to make a full assessment, there are infrastructure that must be put in place, which is the roads, accessibility, and now most of the main roads have been repaired and completed, and we are now working on the feeder roads, so that is will allow the technicians to reach the wells and to also to assess the oil facilities. We have not received a report, a final report, but the assessment is underway.
All right. Mr. Menteza, you're listening to the program Miraya Breakfast Show with me, Sebit William. If you just join us this morning, my guest is Honorable Stephen Diudau, who is the Minister for Petroleum, Mining and Industries. And we're looking at actually the oil production in the country, how it has been affected during the 20 months of conflict, and also what next that peace has been signed. Now, Honorable Minister, you did mention clearly on how it has dropped the oil production from 200,000 something a barrel up to 165, and this is only in Upper Nile State, and Unity State has not been operating for quite some time. Now, with the drop of the oil prices in the international market, and also with Khartoum taking some percentages, oil companies, and loan payments, some people argue that South Sudan actually, as a government right now, is benefiting nothing, more or less really very little or nothing at all from this oil. Can you just try to tell us if at all with this 165,000 and oil companies taking theirs, Khartoum taking their shares, and also with some loan, are we really benefiting from this oil?
This is a very good question, Brother Sebit Williams. I would like also to inform the public that as the, your ministry is mandated to manage these natural resources on behalf of the people of South Sudan, we are obligated by the laws and regulation to disclose our figures, as we are now talking today. And we have the publications, the manuals, we have actually reports, annual magazines that have been published. It is available in the ministry, and it's been also published in our website. It's being now downloaded. And that is will give the, all the details of the performance of the ministry regarding the marketings of the government entitlement in the last 12 months from May to June, which is our financial or marketing reports. The impact that is people are feeling today, of course, yes, partly people can be talking about the crisis, but I thought it is not because of crisis, because 165,000 barrel a day of Upper Nile that we were able to operate is enough, is a very big production comparing with other countries in the continent here. That is put us almost like number 9 or within a tenth producing
countries
in in Africa, but the real impact, and which is very clear to the smaller producers and the biggest producers, is the global drop prices of the crude globally. That is that is affecting us. In addition to that, the cooperation agreement with our neighbors, Sudan, and that is also give us obligations, put on us obligations, fix fees $24 per barrel from the oil produced from the Upper Nile States, and 26 per barrel from the Unity State. That is a fixed amount. So with the drop, we are taking less than what is paid to Sudan, and that is a treaty, is an agreement. So we are also obliged to pay regularly to Sudan, because that is an agreement that was signed. Because during the negotiations, when we shut the oil down in 2012 and we negotiated with Sudan, and people reached that figures, when Sudan was requesting $36 per barrel, and then the agreement brought down the request of Sudan from 36
24
to 24
and
26 nobody was expecting that a drastic drop will take place shortly. This also is a component, then it's not what is people can assume is being paid to Sudan totally. Some are also, these are composed of two components. One is $15. It's a fixed, the way of payment of the TFA, Transitional Financial Arrangement, which also we as the Republic of South Sudan, we were asked by the international community after our independence that Sudan remains with 25% of the oil produced under one Sudan, and you have left South Sudan with 75%. Sudan will collapse. If the Sudan collapse, it will affect you as a neighbor. So you have to support Sudan for some time, in 3.5 years. So we were told to support Sudan to pay $3.028 billion for 3 years and 6 months. That is the way of payments that these people are rich that let us put on the barrel. So it's a 15. But the rest, the remaining for Upper Nile, $9 per barrel, is a tariff that you have to pay. It is paid for all shippers. Everybody is using the facility. You have to pay it, because there is a difference between upstream or what we call the downstream. The facility of downstream, like the pipeline and other facilities on the marine terminal, are owned by a separate companies, entities, subsidiaries, that the investment must be repaid back by charging everybody who is used that facility. So that is the $15 is a compensation or is a help assistance from Sudan, from South Sudan to Sudan, so that Sudan
cannot collapse
as a request from the international community. With the change, we were also expecting that the same community, the same international community, to come up, that this is the situation of change now in favor of Sudan, and why not they should not up now. And this is our surprise, that if people are fair, they should also reverse at least, or at least to reduce that that financial support, because this is not a right. It was just a donation from the Republic of South Sudan based on the request from the Tenen community.
All right. Now, when we look at the cooperation agreement that gives Sudan this percentage of the amount of money we get from per barrel, is there nothing completely that can be done whatsoever on this cooperation agreement?
Of course, nothing cannot be done because it needs mediators, the people who mediated the deal, that will come up to approach the beneficial, who is Sudan, and tell them that you, look, today you become more beneficial than the owner of the resources. So they should have come and asked for the, at least the reduction of the TFA. And we as a government and as also users of the facilities, we can still pay the tariffs, which is $9 for the Upper Nile, for example, Upper Nile facilities, pipeline, Jebelin to Port Sudan. But the TFA, we were expecting that initiative should have come from the international community to request Sudan to reconsider receiving that TFA, either by asking the two parties can renegotiate and ask for the extension for the length to renegotiate for the longer period instead of 3.5 years, 3.5 years. That is, you can reduce the fees less than 15 per barrel. That is, can be a fair deal. The price also improve.
Right. We shall be taking some phone calls shortly in the program Mirror Breakfast Show. But if you just join us, remember you're listening to Mirror Breakfast Show. Our guest this morning is Honorable Stephen Diudau, who is the Minister of Petroleum, Mining and Industries in the program Mirror Breakfast Show. As you all know how important this ministry is, South Sudan relies 98% of its economy on oil production or oil revenue. Now, in the program, if you have a strong view that you would like to share with us, please don't hesitate and be live in the program. Honorable Minister, just before we take some phone calls, you did explain on how these figures are going. There is reports going on that actually South Sudan at the moment gets only $3 per barrel. Is that true?
No, it is not true. First of all, brothers, William, I wanted to correct that South Sudan is dependent on the oil with the percentage of 98%. Mm-hmm. I think this is all
previous percentages.
Previous report. Mm-hmm. Well, that has been reduced to around 80%, I think, because there is an improvement of the collection of the non-oil revenue. So it is not longer that figure. Mm-hmm. That is being almost being reported.
Okay.
Yeah, it is less than that. It is.
Thank you for that. Yes.
Yeah, it will be around 80. Will be 80%, and but the 20% is being covered by the non-oil revenue. This is what I wanted to make. For the
3%.
Of course, 3%, $3
per barrel.
$3 per barrel is not that has not reached that level. If today, it depends on the average, of course, on the average of the Brent index, which is our crude base prices based on it. Today, if it is 45 per month, and then the net of the price is 40, then 40 you. you subtract 24, then the remaining is that is
26
goes to Sudan. Yeah, it's something like that. So it is not. Sometimes it 50-50. Sometimes it like if drop seriously, Sudan can take more than 50%, 60%. We take 40%. In that percentage.
And then we also have the oil companies, of course, that will be taking a percentage. We
no,
also
have the oil loans. Companies are not, that is a different equation. Because there is what something called exploration and production sharing agreements, also composed of two components. The cost oil agreement, that is, take the equity owners, we are the companies, the investors, they take 45%. That is, it charged to recover their operations. Then that is the investment, recurrent investment, and the capital investment. The remaining 55% is shared by the all parties, the equity owners. We are the companies operating in the oil field, the foreign partners, and the government. Government takes 70% and the 30% from the profit oil goes to the operators or to the foreign oil companies. So there is a difference. So what we are talking now is only about the entitlement of the government.
Okay.
We don't talk about the, for example, if the production monthly with the drop of the prices is 4.5 million barrel a month, then the cost oil that is taken to cover the operations expenditure is 2.5, and then or it can be like 2, and then the remaining is also is that we call the profit oil, and government almost takes like 2 million barrel. That is a net come to the government.
Now, Honorable, let's look at the bright side of it now. With all this gloom 20 months that has been befell the nation with fighting going on and oil production not taking place in one state, that is oil producing state like Unity State. Now, with the signing of this peace agreement that have just recently been signed by the two warring sides, when are we likely to see Unity State beginning to operate, and how will this impact generally on the oil production?
That is a very good question. Again, as I mentioned earlier, that the Minister of Petroleum and Mining has issued the ministerial orders to the operators in the United States oil fields. That is one who had been was before the signing of the peace agreement, because the oil field in the United States has been put under the control of the government, and the assessment, initial assessment, is being conducted up to this moment. That is from July and then August. Even if there were no peace, we were going to resume the oil field. That's why we are now, we started to repair and to rehabilitate the roads, and also preparing for logistics. And we also contacted our neighbor Sudan. That is to help in supply, opening the border after the government forced the SPLA control the area and flush out the rebel from the area that is bordering Sudan and South Sudan. So even without peace, we were going to resume, and we received a very good response, positive, from the government of Sudan, that they were ready to open the border. and for us to import critical materials to the oil production in the United States. With the peace, of course, it will be a normal. Of course, we hope that the rebel forces they will abide by the peace, and during transition period, everybody should stay where he was and stop moving or violating a ceasefire, or done again to come back to where they have been flushed out. And I hope with the peace coming, and which is important in peace, because we will be unite ourselves again as one people, one nation. This is important. We believe that is the war is not a solution, even if today the government is strong and we are controlling the most of the areas in Greater Upper Nile, and there are still pockets of the rebel of the area that are controlled by the rebels. This is not enough. We wanted to bring them back, and we live as one people. We need them, even if it is one person in the bush. We want him to come in, and that is the parable in the Bible. That it says, Jesus said one day, if you have 100 of sheep and one has left, you always look for that one and bring it back to the
to that
sheep that you have it. Mm-hmm. And this is what we need as people of South Sudan. We need to live in harmony, and then stop killing ourselves and interrupting our life.
All right. Now, Honorable, let's look at sustainability of this South Sudan oil. There is now a worry that because of this heavy dependence on the oil, eventually, as time continues, of course, our future generations will suffer because we are over-depending on this oil. What could you like to say when it comes to sustainability of South Sudan's oil?
South Sudan is blessed with natural resources. It's not only oil. We have mineral resources. We have agricultural resources, forestry resources, fisheries, animal, different sources of animal resources. That is, we are in Dow. But even today, when we are talking about the hardship, is not because we do not have resources, but it is attitude and a culture on how we utilize our resources.
Mm-hmm.
Today, some people are keeping thousands and hundreds of cattle with no use, don't bring them to the market, and even don't sell them, keep them for prestige. And even himself, that the owner of that hundreds or thousands of heads, he can die with hunger and then leave this this resource. That is what we are in. We have one of the blessed country in the region in terms of the land that we have, agricultural land. 45% of South Sudan territory, you can grow any crop that you need to grow. So if we also, and we have enough water resources, the rainfall and the river that we have, and so this is, I would assume that if South Sudan was given to other people without the culture, it would have been, without oil, would be the richest country in the region without oil.
Right.
So if we move today and we just we utilize water, agricultural, and the land we have, we can feed ourselves and we export more food to international markets.
All right.
So it is just an issue of how could we move and utilize our resources that we have without depending on ready-made or what or thinking that we should be employed or getting money from the government alone.
All right. Yes, Minister, just before we are left with only 12 minutes, but one important thing that we had stories before and reports from the oil producing states about pollution of the areas and people being affected there. What mechanism is the ministry putting in place? We heard about a draft that you actually sent so it can be put into law on how actually to protect the environments which are surrounding these oil fields. Just briefly tell us on that ground what is being done.
Regarding the environment impacts, yes, that is one of the challenging areas and which we inherited from Sudan. But we, as the government of the Republic of South Sudan, from day one, we work hard to address this issue of environment because it is our concern. Oil is a depletable resources, but the land that we should keep it for the next generations. So the ministry work hard to put in place together with our National Legislative Assembly, the legal legislation needed for the protection. We have the Petroleum Act, which was enacted to law 2012, and we work also on the regulations. We have now the environmental regulations and administrative regulations, which include and contain punitive measures, monetary and financial fines on the operators if they misuse this land. And as we speak, we are also working to conduct the environment audits. It was interrupted by this crisis because it is a sophisticated and very technical, which you cannot do it on the local level. Mm-hmm. You need to involve international and competent international companies. So phase one was done before the crisis. Then when we come for second phase, that is need involvement of the international companies, then the crisis came up. The international company declined on the pretext that South Sudan is not safe to send their technicians to collect the samples, the soil, testing on soil, or collecting the bloods, or testing the air, making a difference of testing, mm-hmm. which will now give you a scientific report so that we have to put to an end the speculations or the public talk that people are always talking that it's a negligence mm-hmm. from the side of the government. We are not. We are very careful. We are concerned of protecting our population and our environments, and the law is in our hands.
All right.
So when the situations improve, we will resume. We will invite these oil companies to continue with the study, and the reports will be made public. If there is damages made by the operators based on the report, then the
subsequently
will compensation to the communities.
All right. Yes, Honorable, before the crisis actually started, there was a progress that has been made, especially on domestic refineries that could be used, you know, refineries that could be used for domestic use. Now, can you just tell us, with the peace now that has been signed, I mean, how far are we with these refineries?
For the refineries, we are also working on various projects in area of refineries. In Unity State, we have one that was completed and was just interrupted before the official commissioning in Unity State by the Safinate Russian company, with a capacity of 5,000 to 7,000 barrels a day, that is still ready. So that is one of the projects that also, with the resumption of the oil, because you can also operate it without having the production in Unity State. When we resume, we will also invite the owners of the that projects to see if there is some damages, then they will repair and fix it, and then we will start the refining our crude in Unity State. That is can be actually enough for the local
consumptions.
We are working the other two in Upper Nile that were given to two different companies, American companies. One was a Frontier company, it's an American company in Tiangrial refinery that was also interrupted, and the investor decided to put on hold the refinery projects. Despite that, the facilities was being manufactured in the U.S. by the Ventec, is a company that is specialized in manufacturing the refinery facilities. The second and the biggest refinery, which we signed a framework agreement with Black Rhino, is an American company also, which is supposed to be established at the border in Pagak, which has become now the headquarters of the rebels for the export to the Ethiopian market, also was interrupted by this crisis. The first one is in Warap State in Akon, and this was the first refinery that was decided by the government of Southern Sudan before the independence, but we were facing by some challenges of getting the financiers to go ahead with their projects. But as we speak, we are talking with some financiers, and that refinery will also, together with the rest, they can be constructed.
Honorable Minister, with that, I think we come to the end of our program. We only left with around 2 minutes. Just a few questions coming here. This is coming from Uling George from Juba, and he's saying, Honorable Minister of Petroleum, can you just tell us on when will this cooperation agreement expire so we can start renegotiating on the terms, which include a percentage, not a fixed price? He's asking about the cooperation agreement with Khartoum.
The cooperation agreement with Republic of Sudan will come to an end in December 2016. So we remain now with almost 13 to 14 months. And I think the two countries will start to renegotiate. And I think this is a mutual interest for the two countries. Sudan, I believe also that they are interested to continue to receive our crude, because without our oil also, their facilities, the pipeline, will be no use, will be just a junk. And also, as we are now working on our alternative pipeline, and also for the increase of the production, before we build alternative pipeline to other directions, either to Red Sea through Ethiopia, Djibouti, or through Kenya to Indian Ocean, we can still use the two pipelines, that is the existing pipeline and the new pipeline which will come later on. So for the percentage, there must be, actually we have to differentiate between the TFA, which cannot be put at a percentage, as I put it, was a way of payment
to Sudan,
of the obligation to Sudan.
All right.
And the tariff also is not always a percentage, it is also is put as a fix. What is put us in disadvantage is this, the drop of the prices, and we are paying the financial support to Sudan.
All right.
So I don't think that the idea of percentage cannot come, because it was not a sharing of resources.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was not a sharing. There's no basis for percentage. The tariff is determined